All right, with that said, we are recording.
Did we just lose our chairman?
I think we lost our chairman.
Wow. Vice Chairman Hernandez, until Chair Mattis comes back, or there he comes, I guess we'll give him a second.
We will give him a second.
Came back and then he disappeared off my screen. Here he comes.
Am I back?
Yeah, you are.
Sorry about that. Pressing wrong buttons.
Yeah.
we're good. We got a quorum. With that said, we'll call the Transportation Committee meeting to order for Coachella Valley Association of Governments for Monday, August 30th, 2021 for the 10 a.m. session. Roll call, please.
Al Caliente. Blythe.
Here.
Cathedral City.
Here.
Coachella.
Here.
Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
Indian Wells.
Here.
Indio.
Here.
La Quinta.
Present.
Palm Desert. Palm Springs. Rancho Mirage.
Here.
Riverside County.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Do we have any public comments on agenda items?
We do not. And we have no raised hands.
All right, we'll move to item number four, which is the chair and executive director's announcements. I have no announcements. Mr. Executive Director.
You're muted, Tom.
I do want to note for the record that Councilman Harnick is here. She'll be promoted to a panelist in a second. And I see Tribal Chair Member Norte is here as well. Oh, she's here for the record. And then for just a couple quick items to announce, and Erica, if you could play our little PowerPoint show, it'll only take a second. Signal synchronization, as you all know, has begun. You all flipped your switches a month and a half ago or so. Our contractor's been out doing work throughout the Coachella Valley, most recently in Palm Desert and the Indian Wells. You might remember this phase of the project is for three corridors. It's Highway 111, Ramon, and Washington. The contractor's been doing a lot of work on Highway 111 and Washington to begin with. And we'll call this the low-hanging fruit work. We're running wire through existing conduit. They're not trenching. You may not see a lot of work going on, but you will see work at the call boxes. And you'll see Crosstown's trucks out there periodically. There'll be certainly a few folks working at each one of these intersections throughout the next many months, in fact. And you'll see the relationship between what we're doing and what we might be doing with respect to broadband later on the agenda. So again, good news, work going on, money being spent in the Coachella Valley, and all good for our transportation infrastructure here. You could cut that slide. A couple of other items to report. We do have two new staff members that help us on transportation, one of whom you may not know, and that's Gus Gomez, who used to work with the City of Indio. He'll be working with Jonathan on our transportation program. And another who you probably do know, a fellow by the name of Emmanuel Martinez, who I think had a stint, of course, with Supervisor Perez's office and another office, and worked next to Mayor Hernandez in the City of Coachella, and most recently worked with the Imperial Irrigation District. Lastly, I wanna update you on CV Link goings on. You know, there's a lot of construction underway in the Coachella Valley, particularly in the City of Indio right now. Much of that bridge work that you've seen is being done, and Mayor Holmes, we're working on the undercrossing now under Miles, so the stretch between Miles and the bridge crossing between La Quinta and Indio will be a real focus of effort in the coming months. And you know that a separate contract was let for the City of Palm Desert work from Bump and Grind to about Palm Desert High School. And that was done in kind of conjunction with work on San Pablo. And for those of you that have been to my office or CDOC's offices here or the supervisor's offices or City Hall, you've seen a lot of work on San Pablo, the cross street here with Fred Waring at our building. And that work will be wrapping up in the next month or two. And Councilwoman Harnick, I believe you're doing some kind of celebration. When is that? Is it October 23rd?
Well, yes, it is. And it's in the works now. You know, a lot of times when there is a lot of work done on a street in the middle of a community, it divides the community. San Pablo is something that brings the whole community together, and it's kind of Palm Desert's family room. And then touching on CB Link, it just makes it that much better. So we're working on this celebration, and we can't wait to share it with everybody. And we hope we see you all there on the 23rd.
Chair Mattis, that's the extent of my report.
Thank you very much. We will move to the consent calendar. There's items A through E. Does anybody need to pull any items from the consent calendar? I'll entertain a motion.
Move.
Second.
Moved by Indian Wells, seconded by Indio. Roll call, please. Or I'm sorry, is there anybody opposed to approving the consent calendar?
I'll abstain, Palm Desert.
Anyone else?
I would like to abstain on item B. That was an at meeting.
Noted. Anyone else? All right, the consent calendar is moved. Move to item six, which is discussion and actions. Item A, which is positioning the Coachella Valley for broadband. That's going to be Jonathan and Eric. See the presentation, but I don't hear anybody.
Jonathan, we don't hear you. Jonathan? We see you, Jonathan.
I don't see Jonathan.
I do.
Okay.
I think I had to switch my microphone. Can
there you go. There we go.
We can hear you. So sorry.
Oh, there he is. Now I can see him.
Well, we thought we were a well-oiled machine on these teleconference meetings. I guess maybe it's just been a hot summer and we've forgotten which buttons to use. So Jonathan, it's yours.
Okay, so good morning. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Earlier this month, CVAG met with the county, cities, and tribes. Tribal managers to review this broadband presentation. And now we'd like to review that with you today, as well as seek authorization for some additional engineering work on our CV Sync project. So beginning, looking at the Coachella Valley, and this is an exhibit from the California Public Utilities Commission. And this exhibit identifies by the different colors, the different broadband speeds that are available throughout the valley. And we can see that down in the East Valley and Thermal and Mecca, there's underserved or actually no service in some areas. And some in Sky Valley along the perimeter, there's no service. But in the heart of the valley, along the Highway 111 corridor, we do have broadband capabilities as identified in by the CPUC. The broadband doesn't necessarily mean it's fiber. It could be cable, DSL, copper, but there is broadband available. The question is, a number of questions are, is it fast enough? Is it competitive, or is there just one provider in that area? Is it affordable? So when looking at these questions and looking at what other agencies have done, this exhibit shows just the different couple examples of municipalities that have done everything from putting in some infrastructure all the way up to being a full retail provider of fiber. And looking at Ontario, for example, they are a full service provider. And then if we look down on to the left at Riverside and Centennial, these are one step up from a policy only to putting in some infrastructure. And I wanted to share just these a couple of these examples with you. This is an exhibit showing the municipal networks in Southern California. And if you just look at Riverside for a moment, and see what they're doing. Riverside, what they've done is put in a 120-mile network of what they call dark fiber available to lease. Part of this network is running in throughout the major corridors, as you see on the right side of your screen. But then they also have connections to data centers and interconnection points so that a potential user, based on wherever their site is, can lease a strand of fiber or a pair of stripe of fiber, and that'll connect to a data center. And then at that data center, you can contract with whomever, whichever ISP that you'd like to provide service. So in a sense, this is like a water pipe. It's just the water's not turned on. So you're leasing the pipe, but it's up to you to go down and negotiate where you're gonna buy your water from. So this is what Riverside is doing. Looking at in the Denver area and Centennial, Colorado, they have a very similar approach. They have a 50-mile network that they have these three rings throughout the city. And again, there's dark fiber, minimal investment, just putting in the dark fiber, but then they're leasing out and they have their various lease rates for developments to lease out fiber and use. So what opportunities do we have in the Coachella Valley? To start with, you know, the governor signed recent legislation that is putting in close to $6 billion in investment in both middle mile and last mile projects to get broadband throughout the state of California. What the state is intending to do as part of their middle mile is installing an open access fiber network along all of the freeway system. Working with Caltrans, they will be putting in fiber along different, all the corridors. And if we look at Coachella Valley, it would be down the I-10 on 62, and then on the portion of I-111 going into Palm Springs. So in their approach is going to be putting in access along all these freeways so that if a different jurisdiction can get to these backbones, then they can get connected to internet broadband. Another thing that they're focused on, this is also an exhibit from the CPUC, is connecting community anchor institutions. And this is an exhibit that's been published by the CPUC, which already has recorded what they consider community anchor institutions throughout the Coachella Valley. You can see there's quite a few of them. This is government buildings, medical and healthcare, public safety, colleges, universities. And these are all anchor institutions that could benefit from having that broadband capability. So how does CV Sync play into this? Well, as you know, CV Sync is already under construction on phase one, but the ultimate plan is to connect over 500 traffic signals and 120 corridors throughout the Coachella Valley to put in this smart, intelligent transportation system, this smart technology, which includes video detection and closed circuit TV and Bluetooth, and putting in this technology that'll interconnect with a fiber cable. And the fiber network throughout the Coachella Valley is about 120 miles of network throughout the Coachella Valley, interconnecting the system. And right now, what's part of the project is to put in its 144 strand fiber cable. It's a multi-purpose bundle of fiber. And within that, there's different bundles of fiber that is reserved for different technologies that are part of this intelligent transportation system. There is some reserved dark fiber part as part of this included in the design. However, the traffic system interconnection has to be a separate secured system just for safety. We don't want any private entities going in and splicing into the wrong cable and somehow affecting the safety of our interconnection system. So one potential opportunity is while we're putting in this project, doing the construction of this 120-mile network, is to add an additional conduit and put in what's considered the kind of the gold standard, which is 432 strand of fiber. And this would be a dark fiber network that would run throughout the alongside of our existing fiber that we're putting in with the CV Sync project. So looking at how this would lay out over the Coachella Valley, if I overlaid that into our Google Earth here, we can see the red lines. Those would be the locations of that fiber network. And you can see that it's overlaid and matches up a number of places along I-10, where potentially down the road, if Caltrans and the state are able to put in their middle mile network, you would be able to interconnect this system with the state system. Now, if for some reason that state system isn't in place soon enough, or if there's any problems with connecting to the state, we also have other opportunities. And this exhibit shows if we overlaid the Edison backbone system, the blue lines throughout the valley, there's again a number of places where our fiber network could tie in to a backbone. And the way Edison's system works is the blue line going to the right of your screen heads off to data centers in Phoenix, and the blue line on the left heads off to Los Angeles to a number of data centers. So once you hook up to any point along this line, you have options of connecting at any ISP you want, because the signal is taken to one of these data centers. So just to review, when you're looking at this statewide middle mile approach, the backbone could be installed by the state, could be installed by an opportunity, which I just reviewed with Edison, or maybe any other ISP that may be available. The middle mile in this case could be the CV Sync project. And then the last mile approach would be connecting to these community anchor institutions. So if we were to build this this broadband system, this network, and overlaid on that last mile anchor institutions, and we put those in on this exhibit, we can see where there's lots of opportunity to have broadband connect in that last mile to these community anchor institutions, which is very important to the state and their program. So looking at the schedule, we have phase one, as Tom reviewed, is under construction. Phase two, we're finishing up the design, and we're scheduled to go to construction in late winter, February, March, to go out to bid for phase two. So if we were to go through and install this 120 mile network, and we were to do this on its own without CV Sync, we just decided, hey, we want to put in this 120 mile network, put in this dark fiber. The cost of that project as a standalone project, and again, this is not funded. We have not, we're not doing this yet, but it would be a $50 million project to do something like this. Where if we were to put it in though in the same trench and we use the build once approach and added it to our CV Sync, it would be a $20 million project. So certainly a savings of $30 million by adding this system in now. So what CVAG is working on now is coordinating with CPUC. We've had meetings with the CPUC, the Department of Technology. We're providing some information to them on this project to see if it's eligible. The state is still going through a process of determining where the money is going to go and which projects get priority. Shovel-ready projects and community anchor institutions are major points that they're trying to address. You know, they want to take advantage of shovel-ready projects and also get those community anchor institutions connected. So what our recommendation is today is to add in three things. We want to add in the design of the broadband system, just on paper. We're not going to construct any of this, but to design for phase two, to add in the broadband design, is about $300,000. We also would like to go back and look at the phase one, which is the Highway 111, Washington, and Ramon corridors, and add in the design there as well. So at least we have those plans ready. And then third is for the tribal lands, is another $400,000 to add the broadband, as well as complete the design for the CV Sync within those tribal lands, because that was pushed out to a later phase based on some environmental schedule. So we'd like to move forward on all of those. And so the recommendation is today is to authorize CVAG to move forward with a little over $1 million. This includes contingency to do the design only for this broadband network and complete the CV sync in the tribal areas. That completes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Thanks. I have one question. I have a couple hands raised. I don't know if this factors in at all. It just hit me all of a sudden. About 5 years ago, Congressman Ruiz had brought Frontier in, and they were given a $235 million grant to put in some high fiber lines throughout communities that were in need. Desert Hot Springs was one of them. I don't know how it connects, but maybe there's a connection there also in one of the different phases, maybe something to look into.
Okay.
First hand I have raised is Supervisor Perez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Jonathan, for the presentation. Obviously, the CV sync, we've already made those calls, and anything that we can do to expand it would be great. But I looked at your maps right now, and I noticed that down the Expressway 86, didn't see much there. I don't know if I missed the Blythe area and moving in that direction. I didn't see that on the map. Areas around Barner Road and the Thousand Palms and Indio Hills, Desert Edge. I just want to make sure. And then obviously the tribal government, which you mentioned. But I just want to make sure, though, that we don't forget about these communities as we're advocating at the state level with the CPUC. I can appreciate the 10 corridor and obviously where we have quite a bit of efforts already moving forward. But we have to make sure, though, ultimately, especially if we're going to begin to develop around the Psalm C area and other areas that are underserved, that we don't forget about those communities. And so I didn't see that on the map. Maybe there's another map that you may have, Jonathan, but I just want to bring that up.
Sure, I can address that. The maps you're looking at were generated from the CV synchronization project. So there was a Coachella Valley-wide master plan interconnecting all the traffic signals. And the reason we're proposing this approach is because the environmental has been completed, the plans are ready for construction. And so there's an opportunity to just add in the element of another conduit to incorporate broadband in this previously designed project. However, you know, so those traffic signals, you can see that everything, the design connecting those over 500 traffic signals goes as far as Coachella. And as we get less traffic signals to interconnect and longer runs, you know, those would be eventually additional phases of the Coachella Valley synchronization project. But the reason it's limited now is because we're just working off of the plans that are on the shelf today. It doesn't mean that there isn't an intent to expand it in the future. Does that answer your question?
It does, but I think we gotta push. If we're gonna be advocating with the CPUC, we gotta make sure that they don't forget about the expressway, the 86, and quite frankly, all the way up to the Arizona border. Even though it might not be part of our current plan, which I understand, I think this is an opportunity for us to eventually make it part of the plan.
Supervisor Perez, of course, we couldn't agree with you more. And we've had some conversations with the county executive office. There are probably faster, cheaper, easier ways to get better service, cheaper service to rural areas than trenching and laying a lot of fiber. And we've in initial conversations with the executive office about perhaps a pilot project that could be done easier and far more effectively than laying a lot of fiber. With respect to Blythe, one complication there, of course, is Blythe is not a part of CVAG's transportation program. Blythe gets a separate allocation of Measure A, doesn't have a development impact fee program, isn't tied to CVAG. And you can imagine some of the complications of tying a CVAG signal synchronization program to Blythe. That said, as Joey DeKunig well knows, we are big advocates on getting separate funding for Blythe whenever we possibly can. And we're keeping a close eye on this middle mile item and whether it can apply particularly to low income and disadvantaged communities. So your thoughts are certainly ours as well.
I appreciate that. I know that CV sync, it might not make sense in certain areas. I get that. But just because we have this opportunity, I see moving forward, I think we just got to continue to push at the CPUC level for those areas, even though they're not initially part of our plan.
Understand.
Thank you.
Mr. Hernandez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, let me just commend staff for their work and to, you know, think outside of the box, kind of killing two birds with one stone here. The CV sync obviously allows us this way of thinking. So congratulations and good job. John, you've mentioned that you're talking to the state PUC. I'm also of the understanding that the federal government has a substantial amount of money for fiber. I'm not sure how it's being delivered to the local level, but have you done any work there? And then the other area that if we're going to go down this route, I'm interested in kind of an operations analysis. If we do build this fiber line, how are we going to operate it, or who's going to operate it? I obviously, you went over two models, Denver, I think you mentioned the city of Riverside. There might be other models out there, and where I'm particularly of interest is trying to make sure that those that can least afford internet, that we look at some discounted internet service down the road. And I know that's something that that other jurisdictions have done and working along with the CPUC as well. So as we move forward, hopefully we can do an operations analysis on what would make the best sense and most sense in order to run this essentially public good, in my opinion.
To answer your question about our federal communication, we have been in touch with Congressman Reese's office and looking at, as the new funding comes out, the rules aren't defined quite yet, but we're tracking them. And there is an item later on the agenda talking about state and federal advocacy that will probably answer more of your questions with regard to that.
Ms. Holmes.
Thank you. And thank you everyone on the team. Whenever we can combine projects like this, especially when it comes to laying fiber, it's to our advantage, both economically and from a time perspective. One question, did I understand early on in the presentation that there is existing 120 miles of fiber in the Coachella Valley?
No, the 120 miles is our design.
Okay.
To install, to connect all of these traffic signals as part of CV synchronization.
But you do understand.
It was a little too good to be true, but I terrific. Thank you.
And Mayor Holmes, you did understand there's a lot of fiber in the Coachella Valley. Yeah. In fact, we've laid some of it in some of our cities. And I don't want to create undue expectations. Just laying fiber does not mean that people have better connectivity.
Right.
There's a lot of fiber out there.
Because that was kind of going to be my next question is, what sort of bandwidth, does that existing fiber hold for us? How do we interconnect? How to, all of the technical stuff. So we'll just wait and see how this continues to unfold.
Ms. Harnick.
Thank you so much. And to the point about fiber, as we look at the connectivity, it's both wired and wireless we need to be looking at to really get all of the answers. And I think to be most efficient financially and in all the work that we need to be doing. There is a group that meets every other Wednesday. It's called Digital Divide. Many of you probably know Steve Pontel. He is quarterbacking this effort, and it's with Southern California Association of Governments, as well as the San Diego Association of Governments. So it's all of Southern California. It's the seven counties of Southern California. They are working hard to make sure that they are getting to the underserved and unserved communities. And they are working hard to get those funds from the federal government as well as the state so that we make sure that we connect with all of those communities that the supervisor was talking about and that we all know need the connectivity. So it's not only the middle mile, but it's the last mile. But there is a lot of work being done right now on that. And we should all remember we have the scenic fiber also, which is through our university system. So we have a going in College of the Desert, and it's down at our CSU and UCR as well. So we've got a head start on a lot of this, but we just have to make sure that we use it as effectively and as efficiently as we possibly can, and make sure that everybody who needs that education and the medical and the employment have access to the fiber. So there are groups working on it, and I know CVAG has been part of the effort with the Digital Divide group. And Jonathan, thank you for all the information you gave us today.
And I do want to acknowledge Councilwoman Harnick for your efforts at CVAP and pushing us in this direction, as well as Supervisor Perez and many of your points. What this is in many ways, at least the $300,000 component of it, is getting the design done. So if the federal and state governments want to give us a bunch of money for middle mile, we are well positioned to get it. And that's been a recurring theme during my tenure at CVAG and certainly well before. Let's make sure we're shovel ready when money starts flowing downhill to regional and local agencies.
Deconic.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I just want to elaborate on Manuel's comments, and thank you, Manuel. You know, thinking for our area out here, we're very large and a lot of issues, and I know it's not a lot different out here compared to Coachella Valley. And thank you, Tom, for, you know, I know you're always there for us, so I just want to make those comments, and everything's moving forward fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have anyone else that can make comments? I see no other raised hands. All right. This would be the time to entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve. I don't have the document up in front of me, but I'll make the motion to approve.
Can you just repeat what it is that we're approving, please? What's our action item?
Jonathan, I can read it. Authorize the executive director to execute amendment number 2 to the Advantech Consulting Engineers Environmental Engineering Services Phase 2 contract, including design of redundant fiber optic cable in CVAG's CV Sync project, for a not to exceed total of $1,097,532, including contingency, and authorize the executive director and or legal counsel to make clarifying changes, revisions prior to execution. And while a lot of our discussion was on design for the potential for middle mile broadband, I do want to note, particularly for a tribal member, Norte's information, as well as others, this includes design and environmental services to catch up on tribal lands, which we had to have a slowdown on because of environmental reasons.
And we're recommending this to the executive committee, or are we making the decision?
You're recommending it to the executive committee, as you always do.
Thank you.
Ms. Holmes, was that your motion?
Yes.
So I have a motion by Indio. Do I have a second?
Second it.
Second by Indian Wells. Do you have any more discussion? Is there anybody opposed to this item? Anybody abstaining? Item passes. Move on to item number 6B as in boy, designation of the 2022 State Transportation Improvement Program, also known as STIP funds. Mr. Hoy.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. The STIP program, the State Transportation Improvement Program, is a 5-year program, and it's administered by the California Transportation Commission. And every 2 years, they outline a programming budget, and they put a fund estimate together. And that's what I'd like to review with you today. We have a need for outside funding, and I wanted to share just a slide from our cash flow analysis. Just to remind everyone here, looking at the past interchanges that we had to build, they were funded about 80% in outside funding, which included federal and state funding, including STIP. But looking forward, we know that we have almost $600 million with these additional 8 interchanges, and we don't have any outside funding. We're very little funding programmed. No state funding is funded for those. So, in trying to program this funding and make a recommendation to the CTC for where we want us to program our portion, we look at the 2016 TPPS, and we've looked at the top 3 projects in our TPPS, and we have Monroe Street as our number 1 project in the TPPS, Avenue 50 that's shown here is the intersection of Jackson and Avenue 50. It's not an interchange, but that one actually is already funded and under design. But Monroe Street is one where is the next interchange at the top project in our TPPS. In addition, we know that Congressman Reese recommended in his member designated funding to this infrastructure bill of $20 million toward this project. And we're hopeful that that seems to be continuing through the process, and hopefully it'll receive that $20 million in funding. So looking at how we program this, we currently have $4.47 million in our STIP program for this fiscal year, this fiscal 21-22, and it's going to go towards the CV synchronization project. The new funding that's been made available to us from the CTC, that funding is not available to spend until the 25-26 fiscal year. And that lines up with our I-10 Monroe. We're currently going through, the environmental's been approved, it's currently going through the design, that'll take a few years, and then going out to right-of-way and construction. It looks like this would be a good place to put that outside funding. And if that project is successful in receiving the $20 million, this will also help with the funding of that interchange. So our recommendation is to authorize the executive director to recommend to the County Transportation Commission that we designated the estimated $7.55 million in available, they call it the 2022 STIP, but it's a five-year program. And that'll be available, as I mentioned, in the 25-26 years. One thing I wanted to clarify is we just received an update from RCTC on Friday after the staff report went out. And it's good news. Our Coachella Valley share increased. In the staff report, you'll see the 6.79 million that was coming to Coachella Valley, but that's been increased. And our new number is 7.55 million that we'll have available in that program year. That completes my staff report, and I can answer questions.
Great. I don't have any hands raised. Does anybody want to make any comments?
Mr. Chair, just a question. Have you gotten any proposal, John, or estimate of what that bridge is going to cost us?
Monroe Street?
Yes, in total.
It's about an $80 million construction. So if the member designated earmark, I would say the $20 million was received, and plus this additional $7.5 million, that would reduce the regional share.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, entertain a motion?
That would be me. I'd like to recommend to RCTC that they designate an estimated $7.55 million in available 2025-26 STIP funds for the Monroe Interchange. Did I get that date? I was writing that down.
Well, it's the 2022 STIP, but it's right, a five-year STIP.
Not available until 25-26, correct.
But that could change. So sure. I don't know that we want to be locked into that, because if we get some early money, it might be able to expedite it.
And Mayor Holmes, you could make the motion just a staff recommendation, which embodies that concept.
You know what? That is just a wonderful thing, Mr. Kirk. Absolutely. So moved.
So second. I got a motion by Mayor Holmes. Who second?
La Quinta.
La Quinta. Thank you, Mr. Riley. I got a motion, a second. Is there any more discussion? Is there anybody opposed to this item or abstaining from this item? All right, item passes. Move to item C, which is federal and state advocacy services. Mr. Martinez.
First of all, welcome, Emmanuel. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Honored to be here and be part of CVAG and be before you guys, before all the elected officials from all the Coachella Valley cities. So good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. Emmanuel Martinez, Senior Programs Manager. As mentioned, an honor to be here and be part of the CVAG team and present to you my very first item, which relates to state and federal advocacy services. As you've been made aware today and over the past year by our transportation director, Jonathan Hoy, CVAG's planned interchanges are facing significant funding challenges. Unlike past interchanges completed, that receive significant outside funding, planned projects that are currently in the environmental design phase for CVAG have very little to no outside funding, meaning very little to no funds from the state and federal government. At the very same time, our local funding sources, as you've seen, have dramatically decreased in revenues. As you can see, Measure A has decreased by 16%, TUMP by 25%, and STIP by 82%, placing significant pressures on local sources to try to fund our planned interchanges, which would be nearly impossible just given the high cost to complete these projects. Hence, this signals a low cash flow warning and the need to increase outside funding for our projects. In light of these challenges, there are some opportunities to help fund our planned projects and begin to chip away at the TPPS, which you know has $3.4 billion in projects, including active transportation and CV Sync. At the state level, some of the opportunities that I'd like to highlight in the recently approved budget is a $500 million allocation for active transportation project. This can help our CVAG art and music line project, which is slated for $17 million under the Metropolitan Planning Organization round. In Desert Hot Springs, $30 million for the CV Link extension project under the augmentation round. And Palm Drive improvements, $3.7 million under the MPO component. Cathedral City as well, $4.3 million under the MPO component. So there's some significant opportunities there to secure some funding for our region. In addition, the state approved $6 billion for broadband infrastructure to address middle mile and last mile projects. The California Department of Technology just had their first meeting approximately a week ago. A lot of those proceedings are being right now informed by the California Public Utilities Commission. We've already had one meeting with lead commissioners from the CPUC, Commissioners Maribel Badger and Guzman Aceves and their staff to begin to inform them of our planned project for CV synchronization and also at the same time including broadband and what these opportunities are. So we plan to be formal parties to that proceeding to begin the information process. At the federal level, Congress is negotiating, as you all heard, a $1 trillion infrastructure bill to achieve the President's Infrastructure and Investment Jobs Act. This bill includes $100 billion for roads, bridges, and major projects, $65 billion for broadband, and also reauthorizes surface transportation programs for the next 5 years. So we will continue to monitor this. And in light of these opportunities, and as part of a comprehensive approach to get our fair share of dollars, CVAG staff is recommending that we increase our presence in the halls of Washington and Sacramento to help elevate our presence and align our projects with forthcoming funding opportunities that I just mentioned. And also to coordinate with our legislative representatives and agencies who will be making decisions over these funding programs that are important to us. To initiate this, we are recommending a two-part strategy to issue a short-term advocacy proposal, which we can hire somebody immediately under the executive director's authority to get us up and running and connected to what's currently going on in Sacramento and Washington, and at the same time issue an RFP for a longer-term strategy. Staff recommends that we issue this RFP in October, review proposals in the fall, and come back to you for committee approvals early 2022. And at that point, we will implement our long-term strategy. So our staff recommendation is to authorize the executive director to retain federal and state lobbying services in the amount not to exceed $100,000 for a period of up to 6 months, and then take the necessary steps to issue a long-term RFP to ensure that our region is maximizing funding opportunities and receiving its fair share. With that, again, happy to be here and happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. I think it's a fantastic idea. We've kind of ridden the coattails of RCTC for many, many years, and I think it's time that we make sure we're advocating for the Coachella Valley and the Blythe area. So it's important moving forward that we have someone with a voice. So I'm really supportive of this. Do I have any other comments? I don't see any hands raised. Yes, Mr. Wow.
Is there a particular individual that you have in mind to hire at this time? Is it somebody that you have worked with in the past? And as far as if indeed you're shaking your head, so I assume that means you have somebody in mind.
Yeah, Mayor Weil, I shouldn't have been shaking my head. I have nobody in mind. In fact, I'm not that linked to the lobbying world. I have checked in with the county's executive office. I've touched base with Ann Mayer. I've spoken to actually a couple of the city managers about this. We intend on doing a very informal, it's a, you know, what in essence, ideally what we love to do is a rigorous RFP process, and we will do that for perhaps long-term representation, go through the committee process. However, as we all know, there's a bunch of money out there. Some of it has been allocated, most of it hasn't been allocated, and I believe we need to have somebody on board immediately. I have nobody in mind. We will create a short list of potential lobbyists. My only prejudice, if I have one, is that it not be a lobbyist that any of our agencies have. I don't want to hire somebody that we already have as a part of our team. We will check in with the Agua Caliente and others that have strong lobbying teams and get a short list of others that could support our efforts over the next 6 months. But that same firm or individual or individuals may not be the long-term solution for us. Does that answer your question?
It does. Please understand, I'm 100% in favor of hiring this kind of person. I would like to see the interview process. Hopefully, it would be yourself and several others on the committee that participate as to the selection of the individual.
And I'd certainly welcome that. And RCTC has already offered to help us with the interview process. And I think I would like to bring in, particularly the Agua Caliente, that have a strong presence in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento, and perhaps one or two of our city managers. And that's what I have envisioned on. And maybe what I could do, Mayor, is outline that a little bit better in the recommendation moving forward to the executive committee.
I think that'd be a good idea.
All right, I'd be happy to do that.
Ms. Harnick.
Thank you. I totally agree we shouldn't be duplicating lobbyists from other groups. We need to have as much impact as possible, and using the same person isn't gonna give us as much impact as we'd like. So I'm sure you've got some great ideas. I'm sure RCTC and SCAG has got new lobbyists and a couple other entities. In fact, Palm Desert has recently gone through an effort with some new lobbyists. So if we can just get the recommendations from these other groups and then have whoever you choose to be your committee to go through those recommendations, the faster we can do this, the better off we all are in this effort. So thank you. Great.
Mr. Hernandez.
I just want us to think through potentially down the road any, I wouldn't call it conflicts, but maybe just a difference in priorities, right? If Coachella Valley is advocating for X and just say RCTC is advocating for something else, that there could be some areas that we, have different strategies and priorities. So the more we can think through those, the better off. I would also say that it's going to be very important as well that we just let our local legislators know how important, our strategies are or how our priorities are. Our local legislators are the ones who are deciding, and are at the table either negotiating pork or negotiating boats down the road, et cetera, that ultimately would benefit this region. And case in point, Western Riverside was able to get, maybe like $65 million or $75 million for Corona when a very important vote was needed. So the more we can work with our legislators, the better off we'll be.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, I totally agree with what Mr. Hernandez said. right now RCTC is completely focused on the western region area because of the traffic's needs there. So I can't see for the next 10 years them getting back focused on the Coachella Valley, meaning that the Corona area is very important. The southwestern district and the Temecula Marietta is going to be very important to their traffic needs right now. And then you still got to focus on the Beaumont Banning area before you can get back here. So having someone that understands that can work with them, but really advocating for our needs here is going to be important. I see no one else's hands raised. Anyone else want to make comments? Yes, Mr. Reed.
Does the $100,000 include the finding a long-term solution, or is this just the short-term person?
Or people? The short-term.
Because I'm assuming we're going to need somebody in Washington and somebody in Sacramento. I mean, I can't imagine that one person can do both.
Right. Thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
Emmanuel, we agree. We're envisioning two people, $100,000, up to $100,000 is the short-term person, while we develop a more rigorous review process, procurement process that the Transportation and Executive Committees would certainly be a part of. And let me just comment, and I'm perhaps stating the obvious because all these items do tie together. As Mayor Holmes knows, I met with the Indio City Manager and council members. You know, that Monroe interchange, sure, fantastic. We might get $20 million. We might just added $7.5 million. We're still $75 million short. And we've got a long way to go to fund that project, let alone others. So having a lobbyist that's advocating for the entire Coachella Valley, the priorities in Coachella and Desert Hot Springs and Indio and Palm Desert and the rest of the jurisdictions is important. And I agree with Mayor Hernandez. So while we have a wonderful working relationship with RCTC, we know they are consumed with the crushing traffic problems in Western Riverside County, and we need to have some advocacy focused on the Coachella Valley. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other questions, comments?
Just that this person should fight for our train as well. Because there's a lot of money from Amtrak. Amtrak is getting huge sums of money. And Lausanne, of which I have the honor to serve as chairman this year, we're hiring a lobbyist to make sure that Lausanne gets its fair share of that money. And I think the Coachella Valley needs to make sure that it gets it as well, which is totally separate pot of money from the highway.
And I want to share with all of you, I think you know, Ann Mayer has been a huge advocate here. And we believe, and she certainly believes, that there's substantial funding that could be made available to this corridor through Amtrak.
Great. I have anyone else? All right, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve hiring a lobbyist short-term for $100,000.
Two lobbyists, not a lobbyist, right?
Correct.
One Sacramento, one Washington.
Yeah, just indicate lobbyist plural, and we'll make do with that.
Okay.
Fine. All right. I have a motion by Ranch Mirage. Do I have a second?
Second, La Quinta.
Second, La Quinta. Is there anybody opposed to this item or abstaining? All right. Item passes. Move on to item D, which is election of chair and vice chair for fiscal year 21-22. Mr. Kirk.
You know how we do this. The chair, we've identified who's been chair over the years. Sometimes the chair is here for one season or one year, or sometimes for more than that. The nominations are now open. Your chair, of course, is Mayor Mattis. Your vice chair is Mayor Hernandez. Do we have any nominations for chair and or vice chair?
I would like to make a motion that Mr. Hernandez be the chair, and if the committee is okay with it, I'd like to make a motion at the same time that the vice chair be Dana Reed from Indian Wells.
I'd like to second that.
All right, we have one nomination. Are there any other nominations for chair and or vice chair?
Sounds like a railroad to me.
Well,
you're the one who likes the trains, Dana.
What was the nomination again, Mr. Chair? I forgot. I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the nomination for chair is Mayor Hernandez. You might know of him. And the nomination for vice chair is Dana Reed of Indian Wells.
If there hasn't been a second.
There has been a second, but that was just for the nominations. Now we have a slate. The motion is to accept the chair as Mr. Hernandez and the vice chair is Mr. Reed. We'll just assume that the same makers of the motion apply. All those, is there anybody that is opposed to the motion? It's unanimously approved. Congratulations to the two of you.
Well, and congratulations to Scott Mattis for doing a fabulous job this last year under the most trying of circumstances. Thank you, Scott. You did a great job.
Well, thank you, everybody. It's been my second stint as chair. I did it 10 years ago and then again this last year. And it's always great to work with this committee. And I just want to say thank you to the staff. They're the one that make it the easiest. Tom and everyone under you just seems to be able to jump in, answer questions, and make this agenda and meeting flow really smooth. So thank you for all your help and all your work there. We just get to sometimes be the face of it, but the work is really done behind the scenes by the staff. So again, thank you. Mr. Hernandez, did you want to take over from here?
Scott, go ahead and finish the meeting. But again, thank you for all the work. We will make sure that you get a beautiful photo or portrait that is customary here at CVAG. And just let me say that I look forward to getting our hands on other people's money for this region and bringing home some of that money that we need for a lot of our projects here in the Coachella Valley.
As long as that portrait is Tom with two thumbs up, you know, that's what I want for my wall. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Number seven is informational. Is there any items on there that you would like to pull for a report? All right, I see nobody jumping up and down. Item eight is public comments on non-agendized items. Joanna?
We have no raised hands.
Okay. So Mr. announcements Chair, of, yes.
On announcements, just a note on these types of meetings, and it has been a challenging year for all of us to run these meetings this way. As I think you all know, we did survey our members on how best to move forward. It may not matter what you all think. It much matters on how the state interprets the Brown Act, and the current emergency order does expire at the end of September, it's my understanding, and we'd all be going back to regular meetings, but pending legislation and perhaps a governor's extension of the order could occur. So I'm frankly not sure what we might be doing in October or November, but I do expect us to have virtual meetings through the end of September.
Thank you for that update. There are the Transportation Committee meeting will next meet on November 1st, and the Executive Committee will meet on September 27th. If there's no other comments at this time, I see nobody jumping up and down. We're going to adjourn the meeting.
I'm going to jump up and down the October 23rd ribbon cutting for CV Link and San Pablo. We'll be live. It will not be Zoom. So I'll see you there.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Have a great day. The meeting's adjourned.